One beautiful verse to encourage us and to help us. The Word of God is filled with strength for living day by day. And many of us who come to church come with broken hearts. Maybe a loved one has died recently. Maybe there's trouble at home. Maybe your children have broken your heart. Maybe you're facing surgery. The body is breaking down. The Bible speaks to every condition in human existence. And I know of no greater verse that has spoken to me across more than 50 years of preaching than the one found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, where Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. And this morning I want you to leave this place saying, I can. I don't care what your problem is. You can win the victory. You cannot do it alone. That's why Jesus is so important, not only in salvation, but day by day. As we confront the circumstances and the problems of everyday living, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Christ will strengthen you by his companionship. He does not eliminate the problems of life. He does not say if you become a child of God, you'll never have cancer and you'll never have heartache and you'll never have a broken heart. He didn't promise that. But he said, when it does come, I will give you an inner strength. My companionship will become your strength. My insight that I will give you so you can grapple with the problem will be your strength. Now, heaven is a place that has all joy and no sorrow. Hell is a place that has all sorrow but no joy. But earth, where we spend 70 years between the cradle and the grave, is a combination of joys and sorrows. And our task is to learn how to enjoy the blessings of life. Because many of us take them for granted. Many of us have become so inured to God's goodness that we just act as if though that ought to be the routine. The wonder is gone, and it shouldn't be. We ought to learn how to be grateful and to enjoy the blessings. Then when the problems come, let's learn from the problems, because nothing will teach you more effectively than the dark hour. I've learned more about theology, more about God, more about people, more about myself when I have walked in the valley of the shadow of death than I ever learned from reading books or studying philosophy or reading theology or meditating on psychology. All these other things are wonderful in their place. Nothing takes the place of the interaction of human experience. You're going to learn more about God, more about yourself, more about people in the dark hour. So welcome the dark hour, because it's going to teach you some things you'll never learn while the sun is shining and the sky is blue and the rivers are placid. And so I want you to concentrate upon the little phrase, all things. I can do all things. And the word all things encompasses the milieu in which you and I operate, the situation, the place. And between the cradle and the grave, you're going to have a combination of blessings and problems and burdens. Blessings and burdens, they're going to come. And I don't care how good you are, how nice you are, how kind you are, how decent you are, how intelligent you are, how religious you are. You're going to have cancer. You're going to have sickness. You're going to have a broken heart. Some of you are going to have a broken home. Some of you are going to have depressions. Some of you are going to have anxieties. Some of you are going to lose your job. Some of you are going to have trouble with finances. But listen, all things are encompassed. All those things I've mentioned are encompassed in the phrase, all things. The Greek word, T-A-P-A-N-T-A, the word tapanta, is the phrase used here. And it includes everything that you face in life. Everything that you face, including death itself. So the journey between the cradle and the grave is filled with problems and despair. And there is no way you can eliminate them. God didn't save the Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace. He saved them in the fiery furnace. God didn't save Daniel out of the lion's den. He saved Daniel in the lion's den. God didn't save David out of the valley of the shadow of death. He saved David in the valley of the shadow of death. And Jesus, who was God incarnate, God in human form, suffered the betrayal of friends. His mother and brothers didn't understand him. He went to a cross and died a horrible death. He wept over Jerusalem. He shed tears just like we do. And if God incarnate, walking in perfection, has to face all of the contingencies of human existence, then you and I are going to face them. But I want to say to you this morning, you can walk out of this church saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And may I repeat again this little phrase, all things. It's very popular in the scripture. It is quoted several times. For example, remember Romans 8:28. God can work all things. There's the phrase again, together for good, to them who love the Lord. All things. God can take your sorrows, your heartaches, your difficulties, and amalgamate them into a certain compound and turn them into a beautiful result. But your job is to learn how to put your life in the hands of Jesus. Your job is to be strengthened by Christ. You cannot do it alone. You cannot do it because you know psychology. You cannot do it because you're intelligent. You can do it only as you put your faith in Christ and follow Him. I can do all things through Christ, through Jesus, all things. Not only in Romans 8:28, but remember in Matthew 6:33. Where Christ, after talking about how not to worry and how not to let the little things of life overwhelm you on the inside and destroy your conquering spirit, He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all things. That's the same Greek phrase of Philippians 4:13. All things shall be added unto you. Everything that you need. And remember also in Romans 8:32, if God spared not His Son, if Jesus died on a cross, if God would go that far, if God would do that for us, then every other problem that you and I face is minimal in comparison to our sins that God made provision for by giving His Son on an old rugged cross. If God loved me enough to die for me on the cross, I can trust that love to help me when the funerals come and the heartaches come and the sorrows come and the tears come. Remember what He said in Romans 8:32? He that spared not His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how much more shall He freely give us all things. You see, there's the phrase again. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. He that spared not His own Son, if He died for us, He will give us freely all things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And how does Christ strengthen us? How does the Lord give us the inner strength to face these all? Not by elimination. He doesn't say, I'll eliminate them for you if you accept me as your Savior and go to church every Sunday and give 10%. I won't let cancer. No, sir. He's never promised that. The Apostle Paul, who lived one of the greatest and most wonderful Christian lives ever, had all kinds of trouble. He was shipwrecked and beaten and put in jail. And even his Christian colleagues turned on him. And then he died by being executed, by losing his head. So God hasn't promised to eliminate the heartaches and the sorrows, but He has promised to give you the inner strength. And this is Paul talking. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And how does Christ strengthen us? By giving us the insight. By giving us, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, He said, be not conformed to this world. Which means don't think like the world thinks. Don't approach the human situation with human philosophy. Don't do it like the world. Don't be conformed to this world. But be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Win the victory within the category of human information. And I can do that for you. I can give you spiritual insight so you can look at a situation and evaluate it by the information that I give you through my word, said Jesus. Because my companionship ensures the impartation of information that will help you to confront every difficult problem in your life. So young people, boys and girls, facing today, facing the problems of the future, facing heartaches, facing sorrows, facing financial problems, facing domestic situations, I can do all things. The human spirit is invincible through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to give you three bits of information in closing that will help us to understand how to face all things. Number one, no matter what you're going through, here's my first point. Point number one, it isn't as bad as it seems. Now that may sound very simple to you, but learn how to evaluate the present situation. Don't let the devil make you maximize the importance of secondary situations. That's why Paul could say in 2 Corinthians 4:17, he said, this light affliction, which is but for the moment, worketh for us a more exceeding weight of glory. Notice how he called it an affliction. He didn't bury his head in the sand and say, oh, it's all right. He said, I've got a problem here. But it doesn't weigh as much as the devil wants me to think it does. It's a light affliction. And it won't last forever. It's for a moment. And it works for me a more exceeding weight of glory in days to come. Let's learn how to evaluate the present. Whatever you're going through right now, ignore it. But from the standpoint of the importance of it, it is not as bad as it seems. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, and I preached about that a moment ago to the Sunday school class, now, that's the present moment in which you're in, we see through a glass darkly. Now, we know in part. And so the present situation is limited right now. Don't make mountains out of molehills. Don't exaggerate the present problem through which you traverse. Learn how to ignore its importance. Learn how to look around whenever the problems come and say, oh yes, I've got a problem here, but look at all these wonderful blessings that God has given me in my life. Look at all the wonderful joys that God has given me in the past and will give me in the future. You know, when Joseph was sold in slavery, that was a bad hour. He could have gone to pieces and gotten bitter against God. He could have said, Lord, I've always been a follower of yours and I've always believed you'll take care of me. And you allowed these brothers of mine to put me in a hole and then sell me to Egypt and detach me and separate me from my dad, whom I love dearly. And now I'll be gone for years and years. And when they took him to Egypt, they threw him in jail. And for 12 years, he languished in a jail. But one day he became the prime minister of Egypt. You remember the story. And his own brothers came to buy bread from him, to beg bread from him. And Joseph, who could have misevaluated that situation when they sold him, did not do it, but rather became the savior of his own nation. The famine, he became the savior. He became the minister of economics of Egypt and saved Egypt and saved his own kinfolks. And it all stemmed from that experience back yonder. So no matter what you're going through right now, whatever you're going through right now, it is not as bad as it seems. I majored in philosophy in college, and one of my favorites was a Spaniard named Santayana. He taught in Harvard for many years. He died in 1936. But in one of his books, he talks about this very thing I'm referring to. And he said, I am not going, he makes a beautiful statement. He said, I am not going to weep today about something I'm going to laugh about tomorrow. That's a tremendous statement. Did you ever go to a family reunion and everybody begins to reminisce and look back, and two brothers will start talking about the past, the childhood, the boyhood, and one will say, brother, do you remember when we did so and so? Ha, 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 and they laugh. It's humorous now, but when they were going through it, they were weeping about it. It was a difficult situation. You see, it's amazing how time has a way of changing tragedy into humor. And Santayana said, I am not going to weep today about something I'm going to laugh about tomorrow. You minimize that situation that you're going through right now. I don't care what it is. You minimize it. It is not as bad as it seems. One of my little techniques that I use with myself whenever a difficult problem comes is to say to myself, play it down and pray it up. Play it down. Don't panic. This thing you're going through isn't as bad as it seems. And in retrospect, you're going to see how minimal it was. And to expend a tremendous amount of energy and psychic strength over something like this, I am not going to waste my spiritual energy over something like this light affliction that is but for a moment. Let me say this to you. That some of the greatest things that will ever happen to you are some of the worst things that will ever happen to you. Someday you're going to look back at things that were difficult at the moment and you thought they were insurmountable. And you placed an aura of difficulty and almost impossibility around that situation. And you're going to wonder why you were so dumb as to expend so much energy upon something that you look back on now. And in retrospect, it seems like a non-essential. It isn't as bad as it seems. No matter what you're going through, you look around and count your blessings. Don't count the burdens. They're there. You know, I'm always amazed that the weatherman at 6 o'clock, he'll say tomorrow it'll be partly cloudy. Why doesn't he say it'll be partly sunny? You see, that's the problem we have of looking upon the dark side. And there are two sides to every situation. Let's learn how to apply spiritual optimism. I can, to the situation that we now are going through. And the situation is not as bad as it seems. One of my favorite stories about a little boy who didn't have anybody to play with. So he got his baseball bat and his ball and went out in the backyard. Thought he'd play a little bit by himself. You men have done this when you were boys. He took the ball and threw it up in the air and tried to hit it. Missed it. Threw it up again, tried to hit it again, missed it again. Threw it up the third time, missed it again. And an old man who was standing by the fence, a neighbor, was looking at him. And after he missed it three times, he chuckled and said, son, you're not a very good hitter, are you? The little boy said, no, sir, but I'm a doggone good pitcher. Now, whenever you can do any situation in life just that way. It is not as bad as it seems. I don't care what it is. It is not as bad as it seems. And whenever your troubles come and heartaches come, and you may be in the midst of them right now, you look around and see all the tremendous good that God has done for you. All the tremendous amount of blessings that God has done for you. That boy was lying there and he looked at me and he said, God's been good to me. I'm glad you came to see me. But God's blessed me in so many ways. And I left with a blessing. You know, we sing, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Sing it with me. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Thank you. Count your blessings. It isn't as bad as it seems. Point number one. No matter what you're going through, play it down. Pray it up. You've got a problem, play it down. Pray it up. Don't weep today about something you're going to laugh about tomorrow. All right, point number two. Not only are things not as bad as they seem, number two, they could be worse. I don't care what you're going through, it could be worse. I thought I was in a bad shape till I saw that boy with no legs and no feet and blind. And here I had all those wonderful blessings and I was complaining and depressed and allowing my moods to defeat me. We have an old proverb in Spanish and you've heard the translation in English. I had no shoes and I complained until I met a man who had no feet. It could be worse. The other day I had lunch with a preacher friend of mine whom I hadn't seen in 40 years. We were in college together. We graduated the same year in 1945 from Baylor University. And I hadn't seen him for 40 years. And he was complaining at lunch about his hair. He said, I have a receding hairline. Isn't it awful? I said, it could be worse. He said, what could be worse than that? I said, you could have an advancing hairline. Wouldn't that be horrible if as you got older, instead of your hair going back, it started coming forward? And then as you got older, it came down to your eyebrows and you had to comb hair from the eyebrows on up. And then as you got older, it came down to your nose. And then to see somebody, you had to open hair to look around. Thank God for a receding hairline. You know, some years ago, I had lunch with a missionary friend of mine who had been in China for many years. And he told me a lovely story I'll never forget as we were having lunch. He said one day I was going to preach in a little province in China. And so I went to the station to get my ticket because he said back in those places, we travel by train. Everybody travels by train. And he said, I got there and stood in line because the lines are always long at the depot. And he said, I waited for my turn. And then when it came for my turn to talk to the agent, I put my briefcase down. And he said, I began to talk to the agent about the trip and about rates and about schedules. And we talked for a few minutes and finally he gave him a ticket. And I said, thank you. And I reached down to pick up my briefcase and it was gone. Somebody had stolen my briefcase and nobody around me could tell me a thing. And he said, in that country, when something is lost like that, it never comes back. It never, you can never find it again. And he said, I was brokenhearted. I was brokenhearted. And he said, I sat down in the depot and cried over my briefcase. He said, not over the case itself. It was a beautiful case. Somebody had given it to me for Christmas. One of my friends, it was very made out of leather, beautiful. But I didn't mind losing the briefcase. But he said, what broke my heart was the contents in that briefcase. That would be worth to no one. Wouldn't be worth a thing to anyone else. But to me, everything. Because he said, in that briefcase, I had my favorite Bible that I had used to preach for years and years. When preaching, I could just flip around and turn to any place I wanted to immediately. I was so conversant with its physiology, with its way, the structure, the way it's made. And he said, and I had notes in it. And I had kept it for years. It was my favorite Bible. And that was gone. He said, in that same briefcase, I had a little book of addresses. All my friends I picked up through the years in the States and other parts of the world that correspond with me and pray for me and support my ministry. And he said, that was gone. In that same briefcase, I had a hymn book with all the songs selected for revivals, because he said, not only do I have to preach when I go these places, but I have to be the song leader too. And he said, I had songs selected for revivals and for young people's meetings and for different occasions, for funerals, and that was gone. And I'd had that songbook for many years and put a lot of work into it. And said, in that same briefcase, I had a notebook with all my sermons. sermons, the young people sermons for revivals that I had worked on for years, sermons for funerals, sermons for special occasions, and that was gone. He said, that is what broke my heart. But he said, as I sat there crying, suddenly I caught myself. And I thought to myself, what's wrong with you? You've lost your address book, but you haven't lost your friends. And you've lost your hymn book, but you haven't lost your song. And you've lost your sermon book, but you haven't lost your message. And you've lost your favorite Bible, but you haven't lost your Savior. You see? And the sun came out. Oh, it's amazing how we append so much importance to things. Let's learn how to reevaluate our priorities. No matter what you're going through, it could be worse. Whatever broken heart, whatever way your heart is breaking, it could be worse. May I close by saying, number three, not only is it not as bad as it seems, the situation, the all things, and number two, it could be worse. Number three, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Remember when Job had all kinds of trouble in the dark hour, when every star had gone out of his sky? He looked up in that dark hour in the 19th chapter of Job in verse 25 and said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand upon this earth in the latter day. And let skin worms destroy this body. Doctors and of internal medicine who have diagnosed what Job had contend he had skin cancer. Yet in my flesh I'll see God, and mine eyes shall behold him and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me. Remember Habakkuk? Read the third chapter of Habakkuk. And he paints a picture of the dark hour in human history and in his own personal life. But then he concludes by saying in verse 19 of Habakkuk 3 and verse 20, he said, I don't care what happens. Though there be no wheat in the field, though there be no fruit on the vine, though there be no cattle in the stocks, I will rejoice in my God. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Wait a while. Learn how to wait. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, we have a beautiful verse that says, we are saved by hope. Don't lose your tomorrows. Don't lose the future. Don't let no present situation that you're going through rob you of the beautiful time that's going to happen yet. It's going to get better. You know, in the creation account in the book of Genesis, it says after each day when God finished his work, the scripture concludes, each day is concluded by saying, and it was evening and morning of the first day, evening and morning of the second day, evening and morning the first day, not morning and evening. Now see, the human day runs from morning to evening. Your day and mine runs from morning till night. But God's day runs from night till morning. In other words, we're headed for the dawn. That's what Genesis is saying. We're headed for the dawn. Evening and morning of the first, not morning and evening. Evening and morning of the first day. Evening and morning of the second day. The human day runs from morning till night. The divine day runs from night till morning. Remember in Isaiah 25:11. Where the writer came and said to the prophet, what, tell me, what time is it? And the prophet of the burden of Duma came to me out of Seir, saying, watchman, what time is it? Watchman, what of the night? And the watchman replied, the morning cometh. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your hope. It's going to get better. No matter what you're going through, it's going to get better. No matter how broken your heart is, it's going to get better. No matter how badly you feel physically, it's going to get better. No matter what the state of your financial situation right now, it's going to get better. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Remember in the Broadway play of Annie? And the favorite song, the key song of the whole presentation is a little song, Tomorrow. The sun will shine tomorrow. The sun will shine tomorrow. Tomorrow and tomorrow. Don't lose tomorrow. When Christ died on the cross, we are told in Hebrews 12:2 that who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. It's going to get better. You remember the little children's poem? Their little girl. Don't cry. They've broken your doll, I know. And your playhouse, too, and your tea set blue are things of the long ago. But childish griefs will soon pass by. There, little girl, don't cry. There, little girl, don't cry. They've broken your slate, I know. And the wild, wild dreams of your girlhood schemes are things of the long ago. But love and life will soon come by. There, little girl, don't cry. There, little girl, don't cry. They've broken your heart, I know. And the rainbow gleams of your girlhood dreams are things of the long ago. But heaven will soon come by and by. There, little girl, don't cry. Hope. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And about all things, it isn't as bad as it seems, what you're going through right now. Number two, it could be worse. Number three, it's going to get better. But you need Jesus. You cannot do it without Him. Let's stand. Our pastor will stand here to receive you as you come. If you're a Baptist with membership out of town, you need to come and transfer your membership. If you're a boy or a girl, a young person, and you have never received Christ as your Savior, do it this morning. Come to somebody who'll take care of you and save you. And not only save you, but day by day sustain you and give you strength to face the battles of life. You cannot do it alone. The most foolish thing you'll ever do is to say, I can do it by myself. You need a Savior, a companion, a shepherd, a leader, a guide. Come to Jesus. Start this morning. Do it right now as the choir sings the first verse. Come on. Bow your head for just a moment. As you know from revivals and other occasions, I do not give a long invitation. I tell you what to do and why. And then say, let's do it. The King's business requires haste. Don't embarrass Jesus by postponement. One of the greatest sins you can commit against Christ is to say, I'll come to you later. I'll do it tomorrow. If you plan to do it ever, do it now. Boys and girls, you ever plan to be saved? Come this morning. Businessman, housewife, you ever plan to receive Christ? Make him your companion in the journey of life. Let him save you from sin and give you hope and joy and insight to face the problems of everyday existence. Come today. Church members and Baptists with membership out of town who need to make this church your spiritual home, come today. Do it right now with every head bowed. Slip out of your seat as the choir sings the last verse. Thank you for being a wonderful audience.